I'm joined here today by one of my favorite drivers in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, Mr. Ryan Truex. Ryan, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's truly an honor. I've been following you since the K&N East days when you were driving that Napa car. And to see you at Nice Motorsports, one of my favorite teams, has been really cool. And it's an honor to talk to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's I've been around for a long time now, so
yeah,
happy to still be doing it, still be around.
Yeah, it's really kind of been a journey, but I wanted to kind of start off asking about the beginning and sort of what piqued your interest in racing.
For me, it was just a family thing. I've been around it my whole life, as long as I can remember, and my dad and uncles all raced modifieds at Wall Stadium in Jersey, and my brother and cousins followed that progression, and I grew up going to Wall Stadium and watching Warner, and then I wanted to try it out, and the rest is history. It's a family thing, and it's kind of the natural progression that made sense for me to try it out. And it was something my parents didn't want me to do, but
really,
it ended up working out.
That's kind of a surprise, considering it's been such a racing family. I think your dad and your brother, as we all know, Martin Truex Jr., your brother, but your dad also raced as well. I think in the Winston West or Winston East series, it was.
Yeah. At the time it was the Busch North series. My dad owned his own team and drove in that series for a few years until Martin was ready to take over, and then my dad retired and Martin took over his seat.
Yeah, I had a feeling. So first and foremost, this year, signing on with a new team with Nice Motorsports, one of my favorite teams, in the truck series. You guys are all kind of racers. You and Brett and Carson, and of course you'll have a few drivers driving that fourth seat. But I wanted to kind of talk about how that deal kind of came together.
After 2019, when I drove for Junior Motorsports, the big thing for me was I wanted to race full time again. And that's what we worked on with Nice. I wanted to stay in the Chevy fold, obviously. And Nice was coming off the year with Ross, where they nearly won the championship and won a bunch of races. I thought that team would be a good fit for me. I met with Cody Efall, who is the GM there, and I met with Al Nice and got to know them and just really liked what they had going on. We worked hard on trying to make that happen, and 2020 presented a lot of difficulties for everybody, but luckily my sponsor, Marquis Spas, was able to help me do a few races with them, and it just kind of progressed from there. We halfway through the year, we all decided we needed to figure out how to get full time, and Al was willing to commit to it, and my sponsors were willing to commit to it, and it just all came together super early too, which is unusual for me. Usually my deals happen in January, so it was really cool to get something done early, get it announced early, and be able to focus on 21 and hit the ground running.
Yeah, for sure. And it's got to be good to be working with Brett again. I know you guys have really been close for most of y'all's career. I think y'all lived together at one point, right?
Yeah, we lived together for a little while. I've known Brett since I was 16, since we were racing each other in the K&N series as 16-year-olds. So I've known him for a while, and it's cool to finally be teammates with him. We were both at NWR at the same time, but we weren't quite teammates. He was running a K&N car, and I was running an Xfinity car. And we've driven for a lot of the same teams just at different times, but it's cool to finally be able to work together and, share feedback and try to make each other better. Obviously, with him being a champion, he's got a lot to bring to the table and a lot of knowledge from the past few years with GMS and, you know, winning the championship with Hattori. So I think he's been a big addition to the team for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, and I always thought that was cool. You guys were finally together. Y'all, like you mentioned, y'all kind of drove for the same teams, BK Racing as well. I think for a minute, you had the Hattori, obviously, where y'all had both a lot of success. And yeah, it's really cool. I wanted to kind of talk about the Bristol Dirt Race this week. That was really something, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun. It was really a big unknown for me. I didn't know how I would do. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I've never raced dirt, so being able to know like what the track is going to do and how the track's going to change and things like that are all things that I really had no experience with. But you know, my spotter Stevie Reeves, who's a champion sprint car driver, he was able to help me a lot in practice and during the race, and just to be able to move around and do the things I needed to do and make sure I was hitting the marks and things like that. So that was really helpful. But we had a really good truck. You know, we focused a lot on being able to run the bottom, being able to drive off the corner straight on the bottom, kind of like you would focus on an old worn out short track. And I thought it really paid off in the race. Obviously I tweeted out a picture of our dash and things like that. We had problems with overheating in the race. We had to go to the back twice, which really hurt us. And ended up coming back to finish 20th. But I thought on the timesheet, we had a really good truck. And, you know, speed-wise, it was really good. I could pass a lot of people. We just had to fight coming from the back a few times. And, you know, I think we finished 20th with probably a 7th or 8th place truck. But still had a lot of fun and learned a lot. And, was happy with our speed for sure, so that was promising.
Yeah, I was kind of watching some of the lap times. You were doing pretty well, and you know, it like to go out on a track on a surface that's sort of foreign to you. That's pretty impressive. Overall, like it seemed like the outside, the top line was sort of kind of an island. Like nobody really wanted to go up there. I would imagine, but like. In the beginning, it sort of seemed like it was difficult to run the outside, but it came around towards the end, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was kind of weird how it worked out. The top would just get like, I don't know if it was the dirt they used or what, but the top would just get really slick. It'd get really dirty. Like everybody would be running the bottom, and I guess just swinging all that dust and mud up to the top. And it was almost like a fluff, the whole top, probably two lanes. And you would get up there and just kind of four-wheel slide.
Yeah.
So it was definitely not what we expected. The bottom was the place to be, which it was kind of like old Bristol. You really wanted to be disciplined and focused on staying right on the bottom, being able to enter low, stay low, and drive off the corner low and straight. The people that would spin their tires or get tight off the corner, you'd have somebody turn under you and pass you. And I feel like that's where our strength was on the long run, was being able to turn it and point it and get, you know, straight off the corner under people. So it definitely was more like a pavement short track than a dirt track by the end.
That's interesting that you mentioned that. Like, I was kind of wondering, I'm sure it won't make too big of a difference, but I think they'll go back and fall. Do you think that track will be sort of different now that it's had dirt on top of it, or will it kind of go back to old Bristol?
I'm not really sure. I don't know what the whole process is of cleaning that place. I feel like it's going to be a huge undertaking because there is just, I mean, anywhere you go in that place, you know, whether it's the bathrooms or just walking down pit road, there's dirt and mud everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I don't know if they bring out fire hoses or what, but it seems like it's going to be a lot of work to clean it. And I know they put sawdust down to protect the surface and make it easier to clean. I just don't know how it will react to the VHD in the bottom lane from last fall, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Because they never really get that stuff cleaned up once they put it down. So I'm not sure how it will react to that. If it's something where it sticks to that and they have a problem getting that off, then I'm not really sure what the track will do.
Yeah.
But I think it's just it's just a wait and see for everybody. We're not really sure what to expect.
Do you think that next year when they return, that there'll be anything they could do to make it a little bit better? What would you say would be something that they could kind of fix on this track for 2022?
Well, the big thing, I think, is figuring out. I mean, the problem is when the track is more wet, you have problems with vision. You have problems with people getting mud caked on their windshield, and you have problems with the grill opening getting covered, and then you overheat and you have to pit. And on the flip side of that, when it's too dry, it's so dusty you can't see. The fans can't see. The cameras can't see the cars. So it's really that fine line of starting not too wet but not ending too dry. So I don't know if there's something they can do with the grill openings or with the windshield so we don't have to worry about all the mud plugging everything up, or if it's a matter of running at night without sunshine on the track, if that helps not dry it out. I think this is all stuff that they're going to go back and look at, and I'm sure they'll come up with solutions and come back better. But I thought for everything that they dealt with the rain delays and you know, track prep being kind of all over the place, I thought they did a really good job. And, you know, aside from the dust in the cup race, I thought it was a really good race. And, they just need to figure out those gremlins, and I think it'll be a really good show.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it would be really cool to see it at night. I know a lot of people kind of talked about the glare. I don't know how much the night would sort of get rid of the glare, but I think that would be really awesome to see him run it at night. I wanted to kind of talk about the rest of the schedule here. And you guys kind of have a little bit of a long sort of break. Y'all go to Richmond next week. It's got to be sort of going from a different planet to be driving on Bristol to Richmond and this sort of going from dirt to pavement. Like, what do you guys kind of do during this sort of break time in the schedule exactly?
Yeah, the truck series is unique because this year there is a lot of breaks. The schedule is very spread out evenly. In the past, it's been, you know, we race Daytona and then we have some time off and then we have a few in a row. But this year, it's like almost like every other weekend we race. Which, I mean, as a driver, it's nice to have a little bit of time off and kind of regroup, especially if you're coming off a bad run or, you know, your team's a little bit behind and you need some time to regroup as a team. But as far as prepping for Richmond, you know, the big thing is not having practice. I haven't been there since 2018, so it's been a little while. Obviously, you do the simulator and you watch races back and all that. But for the truck series there, it's their second time going there. And they haven't been there before last year. They hadn't been there in like 12 years or something crazy like that. So I feel like it's still a really even playing field. There's a few teams that were really good there last year, but I felt like a lot of teams missed it. So it's kind of almost like a new race again, I feel like for most of the teams, which I think puts us on an even playing field. And as far as, you know, driving technique, comparing that to Bristol, I think it's more similar than people would think just because Bristol, you were so focused on running the bottom and being really, really mindful of not overdriving it and having your wheel straight off the corner and things like that. Those are all things that honestly translate to Richmond. When it comes to running the bottom there, you got to be really, really diligent about not having too much wheel in the truck, not spinning your tires on exit, being able to keep the wheel really straight and drive off the corner on the bottom. Those are all things that are beneficial at Richmond to being fast and having longevity on a tire run. So I think, honestly, it won't be that big of a change going from Bristol to there just because you'll have a lot of those short track mentalities still in the back of your mind.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now that you mentioned it, those tracks are pretty similar. Somebody actually suggested, like, you know how it is with some NASCAR fans when they see a dirt race, you know, like at Bristol, they want to have dirt races everywhere. Somebody said, they suggested a dirt race at Richmond, which seems kind of kind of ridiculous, but you know, it seems to be sort of the wave now amongst people who watch the sport. Do you think we'll see any other sort of temporary dirt tracks in the future?
I don't know. I mean, it's just, I feel like it's just such an undertaking and so much work, prep work, and then, you know, afterwards having to get rid of all of it. It just, you know, it's at that point, I feel like we could come up with a purpose-built facility.
Yeah.
You know, whether we go to a place like Eldora and just bring in more stands or something like that, I think that's all stuff that's probably on the table. But I think as far as bringing dirt to a concrete or pavement racetrack, I'd say Bristol will probably be the only one that they'll do it at.
Yeah, that makes sense. Another big story that kind of got brought up yesterday was the test at Martinsville with rain tires. I don't know how that would work. It sounds kind of crazy to me. Do you think it would be possible to kind of run on a short track like that with rain tires?
I think it's possible. I think it's probably possible to run. I mean, if you wanted to, you could run anywhere in the rain. It's just the question is what kind of show they're going to put on. You know, if you got to go out there and you're going 70 miles an hour and nobody can pass each other and it looks like you're under pace laps, then that's not really a good show for the fans.
Not at all.
But, you know, Martinsville being so flat, I think they might be able to get it done. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, for sure. So you've been doing a lot of iRacing, and I watch a lot of those Twitch streams that you do. I wanted to kind of ask about iRacing, and with the omission of practice and qualifying, has that been any help for some of the tracks that you've been going to, like driving on iRacing?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I don't think it's as much being on the track or driving that. You know, it's not like I'm going to go run Richmond on iRacing and then go to Richmond and it's going to be, you know, the truck's going to drive the same. There's always going to be differences with that. I think the big thing for me is just staying up to speed on your racecraft. So, like, restarts and being able to make passes, set people up, be 2-3 wide, things like that. Just like your situational awareness, I think that's where it's a big help at keeping you sharp. You know, anybody can go just run qualifying laps, just run by themselves and run laps over and over and over. But, you know, especially in the truck series, it's all about restarts and putting yourself in the right position and not making mistakes or picking the wrong lane, things like that. Those are all things that, you know, you can't really practice. But I feel like on iRacing, you can get close to it as far as those things are concerned.
Yeah.
I think it's a huge help for sure.
Yeah, I don't imagine you get the exact, like, feel, like, being in a truck, but like you mentioned, the racecraft and everything, and that's really cool, like, that this sport can use iRacing as such a tool for the real race, I'd imagine.
Yeah, definitely.
So I wanted to, you mentioned kind of like restarts and picking your own lane. With the implication of the choose cone rule or the choose rule, I wanted to kind of get your opinion on that and what you thought of like this choose rule that they implemented last year but brought in full time this year. I always wondered what drivers thought about that.
I like it. You know, it's when you're a little further back, it's tough to decide because, you know, you can't really see. So for me, I have my spotter count. I pick which lane I want, and I have my spotter count the other lane. And we kind of go from there. If I'm going to lose too many spots to pick the lane I want, I won't choose it. I'll go in the other one. But if I can pick the lane I want and maybe give up one row, but know I'm going to get it back on the restart and potentially more, then I'll do that. But it's definitely brought in a lot of gamesmanship. And, you know, you really got to be on your toes because if you pick the wrong lane at certain tracks, you're in big trouble. I'm not sure how Richmond will be. It'll be hard to say because, you know, the daytime there is so different from nighttime. And it's been a while since I've raced there in the day. So I'm not sure how much the bottom lane will be the spot to be. I'm thinking it'll probably be be pretty beneficial to be down there. But somewhere like Martinsville, you know, you'd want to, I mean, you'd be better off picking and losing four spots if you can get the bottom lane, because, you know, when you go down into one and two, the bottom is going to prevail for sure. So it's definitely brought in a lot of, a lot more thinking for sure when you're coming to that line and watching what everybody's doing and trying to decide which line you're going to take.
Yeah, for sure. So this schedule is very diverse on disciplines of tracks. You have like road courses, intermediates, a lot of intermediates, obviously. But is there a track on the schedule that y'all have circled over there at Nice Motorsports that y'all look forward to or y'all have to really prepare for?
I mean, you know, our big focus is obviously the mile and a half stuff. That's the bulk of the schedule. And I felt, you know, I felt like we had some work to do on those tracks after last year, speed wise and handling wise. So that's really been our big focus. You know, obviously we want to be good everywhere. And I thought we had good speed at the road course at Daytona. I was happy with that. So that's a good sign for the road courses this year. And I think for me, I've had Richmond circled. Richmond's always been statistically one of my best tracks. It's one of my favorite tracks, and I expect to go there and run really well. So, yeah, that's one I've had circled for sure, and looking forward to getting there.
Yeah, Richmond is a pretty cool track. It's like it's a short track, but the banking is sort of like it's really cool how the track is banked. I used to really like destroy everybody on NASCAR Thunder on that track. It's always been one of my favorites too. So, but yeah, like it'll be interesting running that race in the daytime. I'd imagine it'll be kind of slicker. They don't really run that race in the day very much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really finicky track, with heat, and it's definitely a lot different at night than it is in the daytime. So I'm not sure what to expect there. But yeah, like you said, I mean, it's technically a short track, but it drives more like a bigger track. And obviously, I think aero comes into play a bit too, because you're moving a lot faster than you would be at a normal short track. But at the same time, you still have to be very, very disciplined there, which is like any old short track. You know, it's very, very, very easy to overdrive your truck, your car there. And, you know, if you can not overdrive it and still have speed, you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, and I certainly think you wouldn't want to find yourself three wide going into those corners, because it seems like it doesn't work as well. It might work a little bit better than it did back then, but, you know, it seems like going three wide at Richmond doesn't work all that well.
Yeah, definitely not.
So to kind of wrap it up, like I usually sort of ask a lot of my guests sort of a off the rails type of question that really doesn't have much to do with anything. With it being April Fool's Day, and I know a lot of drivers have very practical humor, have there ever been any good pranks you've pulled on anybody?
You know, I'm not much of a prank person. I don't know. That's never really been my thing. I'm more of a dry sense of humor type of guy.
Yeah, I can feel that.
I've never been a big, April Fool's kind of guy. Definitely not this year, because I feel like the past 12 months has kind of been a practical joke.
A little bit, yeah.
So, I'm hoping nothing's getting played on me today.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope everybody kind of like is weary of how difficult it's been over these past couple of years or these past couple of months, and they kind of, you know, aren't as sort of like vicious with their pranks. One more thing I wanted to ask, you have those awesome Go Ryan shirts that have the drawings of the cars. Is there anywhere you can get one of those, like online or anything?
Yeah, you can just get them on my website, RyanTruex.com. I've got the one that I made, and we've got the one that Dale Jr. made with the proceeds going to his foundation. So there's a few different options on there.
Yeah, those are some of my favorite shirts. It's sort of like similar to we have sort of similar dry humor, so I thought that was really cool, and I wanted to buy one. Well, thank you so much for jumping on. I hope to see more of those interviews you do in those hot tubs. Those are pretty funny.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll have more of those coming up for sure.
Yeah, well, it's been great talking to you. I hope to run into you at one of the races, and I wish you guys all the best over at Nice Motorsports.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Ryan Truex.